What makes us faint when we see a body, an open body? What makes, you know, when we see a dead animal, okay, we turn away our eyes because, you know, of the smell. And it starts to rot away. And when you lived here long enough, you've seen some dead chickens, and they really stink. I mean, when they start to rot away, they really stink. But not only the chickens, even the geckos in our little kutri, you know, when they die away, you know, suddenly for a few days, I mean, it's a rotten smell. What turns our attention onto something? And what turns our attention off something? All our life we hankered for the pleasant sensations. Running after them. Just like a dog runs after a sausage that is bound, you know, to a stick in front of his mouth. He never catches it. But he never stops running. And he always runs away from the kinkens that are attached to his tails. But he will never succeed. And so is it with us. We will never succeed, you know, to run after all the pleasant sensations and to run away from the unpleasant sensations. I mean, if there are pleasant sensations, then there are pleasant sensations. If there are unpleasant sensations, there are unpleasant sensations. No matter if you run away or if you run after them, sometimes they are there and sometimes they are not there. Even if we turn away our attention from the unpleasant things, they still have caught consciousness, our consciousness. So we're still aware. The moment we are much more aware, then we will see how we turn, the moment we turn our attention away from these things. And we see how we turn our attention onto something, if we think that is nice. But these things are all anicca. They're all impermanent. They arise and cease, arise and cease. If we would just put our attention onto the heart, or on the citta, it would be there. It's there all the time. Pleasant sensation come, pleasant sensation go. Unpleasant sensations come, unpleasant sensations go. A constant change. Just within our heart. We just need to close our eyes and we can experience it. So what is this running away from? Why to run away from these things? And why to run after these things? We run away from the crowd and to get alone, to go to quiet places. Some people run away from lonely places to get to crowded places. Some people think this monastery is not quiet enough. So they need to go. Or there are too many encounters. So we need to go somewhere else. Some other people think, you know, it's too quiet. They need more entertainment. The problem is the heart. I mean, if we look for solitude, I mean, we find solitude in our heart. That's where it is. If we can't find it, it's not the fault of the environment. It's the fault of our ability to concentrate and get into the heart. That's the problem. Even if we look for entertainment, the entertainment starts in our heart. There are so many things going on. But the things that are going on in our heart, that we don't want to see. Because most of the time they are not really pleasant. They are memories from the past that are unpleasant. Or there are things from the present moment that are unpleasant. So running away is not the point. It's not the way out. The way out is to deal with the things, to stay present at the things. To stay present at that very moment in our heart. If things come up, you know, we are aware that things are coming up. And we are aware that the things also cease. I mean, that's the law of the nature. It arises and ceases. It arises and ceases. We are born and we die. The summer comes and the winter comes. And then it changes again to the next summer. And if it's the 100th summer, we probably, most probably, are dead. So we go through so many years, and each year, you know, starts very similar. Just like every day of us, it starts with waking up, opening the eyes, getting up, washing our face. Every day it starts. Getting dressed. Getting something to eat. Then going to work. Coming home, eating something. Looking at TV or reading a book or going, you know, talking to friends. Then go to bed. Each day of our life. I mean, isn't that boring? We do the same thing. And that not only for one day. For years. The moment we start working until we get retired. I mean, it's 30 to 50 years. What a nice perspective on all that. And then we get retired, and once we are retired, we don't have the strength and energy to do all the fun things that we were used to do when we were when we were young. And then we're just waiting for death to come. And it comes in close. Closer every day. And the closer it comes, the more we look back at our past, how nice it was when we were young and we could do all these things, preparing ourselves for the next birth. And in the next birth, I mean, we learn the same things again. We go to school, we learn to walk, we learn to talk, we train our mind. Once the mind is trained, we start working. Once the body is wrecked, we get retired. I mean, you know, looking at this, from this point of view, I think it's so hilarious. It's so funny. We never see it because we are stuck in that day. We don't take another perspective. We just don't go out of our life and look at our life. I mean, from the beginning to the end. Or from our perspective, you know, looking from birth, you know, to the day we are in right now. What did we do? And that's exactly what most of us do. I didn't do it very long. I mean, after six years of work, I was fed up. But that is our society, and that is the society of most people, you know. Not even if they are educated or Western society, in other societies, when you are a farmer, you do the same thing. Go plow the fields, you know, you put the seeds in, you reap, and the next year you do the same thing. Until you can't do it anymore. And then you hope you have some children, you know, who feed you. And that's the reason why we're here. That's why the reason why we really are so attached to this life. Just to do this. I mean, there must be something else, isn't there? There must be something else to life than just this. Because then our life cannot be very much differentiated from the life of an animal. I mean, they do the same thing. But what do we do with our spare time that we have? We use it to entertain. Entertain the mind. Why do we entertain the mind? Just in order to not to see what I just talked about. Because if we would see it this way, you know, so clear in front of our eyes, I mean, we would think about something, you know, to do to stop all this mess. So that's why we entertain, that's why we drink alcohol, that's why we get our mind off this thing. To forget it. To not being able to realize, you know, what is going on in our life. I mean, some people, you know, just know how to drink alcohol, you know, to blank out their mind. Because the suffering of their daily life is so big. I mean, all what they need to do is to step two or three, to take two or three steps backward, you know, and look at the life, you know, and then they see what is wrong. And then make a change. And the Lord Buddha gave us a great teaching on how to make a change that is very positive. Make a change in a direction that is helpful for us. To get out of this game that we call so seriously life. And that we're so precious, it's so valuable to us, it's so precious to us. Life. And we're so serious about life. Aren't we? I mean, we fight for it. A person who is ill is fighting for his life. Persons are fighting for their rights to live. But it's just like Shakespeare said, just a role in a theater, on a stage. This life, this role, next life, next role. Once we are king, next time we are servant. Sometimes we are teachers, next life we are engineers. One time we are women, next time we are men. That changes us there. And we have played all of the roles that are available in this whole universe. I mean, each role we have played. The animals on the stage, we have played the human beings on the stage, we have played the king, we have played the servants, the teacher, the mother, the father, the woman, the man. And we are yet not born. We yet want to go on. I mean, just think about, just look at your own fantasies, what you have. What do you want to do with your life? You wanted to learn about this, or you wanted to become like this. In this life you couldn't, so you still have to dream. Men want to become woman, and women want to become men. I mean, that's just, you know, it just plants a seed for our future. If in this life, you know, we hate so much to be a man, you know, in our next life, sure, you know, we will be a woman. And if we are a woman and we are suppressed by the man, you know, so much that we hate it, you know, next life we will become a man and suppress the woman. Just like in the German idiom, the oppressor of today is the oppressed of tomorrow. I mean, it just switches around. Today we are slave driver and tomorrow we are slaves. I mean, that is karma. It just puts us in the opposite direction. Just to experience that what we do unto others, how it feels unto us. Nothing else. I mean, these idioms in English or in German, they don't come from nowhere. They come from somewhere. They come from some experience. Or from some knowingness, that things, you know, just turn to their opposite. Maybe some of them come from religion or religious teaching. Some of it come from experience. But they are still in our language, but we don't pay any attention to them. It's just nice to hear them, yeah? Yeah? But the moment it comes for us to act according to them, I mean, it's so difficult. Somebody brings us in rage, you know, and we want to kick him. Or kick his butt. So we do it. And then we get furious if somebody else kicks our butt. So we are never getting out of the circle. We have to stop. I mean, you remember the sutta when Angulimala, when the Lord Buddha was chasing Angulimala and overtaking him, and Angulimala said to the Lord Buddha, "Why don't you stop?" And the Lord Buddha answered, "I stopped long ago." And Angulimala thought, you know, this man is, the Lord Buddha is crazy, you know, he's running, but why, how can he say he stopped? And he asked him again, "I stopped doing evil." And stop doing evil, you know, is stopping our life. It's bringing the life to a halt. It's bringing the circle of rebirth to a halt. That's why he could say, "You stop, long time ago." But we are running, just like this dog. Sausage in front, tins on the tail. Just imagine this picture, you know, of this dog. You know? It's funny, you know? Running away and running too. From one life to the next. Doing the same thing. And the next life. So for us the question is, you know, when are we going to stop? When are we going to a halt and look at our own situation? Take a few steps backward and look at our own situation and look at it from the moment, you know, of our birth until now. What have you done? What have you run away from? What have you run after? What are our dreams? What is the misery? And then see it and bring it all up, you know, just in front of your eyes. I mean, if you have to cry, okay, just go ahead and cry. If it's painful, then it's just painful. Just bring it up in front of your eyes and look at it. Look at the mess. I mean, where was the fun? Even when we thought that we had fun, you know, where was the fun? And then just ask yourself, you know, do I want to do this again? Do I want to go through the whole experience that I now remember just of this life again? Eating, drinking, sleeping, working. Eating, drinking, sleeping, working. I mean, that sounds so much fun. And quarreling about this, fighting about that, fighting in the family, fighting in the country, fighting between nations, fighting for this, fighting for that. Is that really fun? Or is it fun, you know, just to center one's mind in a state of happiness and peace? Just stay there and center it. Just go down into one-pointedness and let the whole world disappear. Let the whole universe disappear. Let just everything vanish. And the one thing that is remaining there, that is the true nature of our chitta. It's called clear, grasp, knowingness. Nothing else. It's not knowing of any object, it's just knowing in itself. And it knows. I mean, it knows and it can remember all of our lives that we have. It just knows everything. It probably also knows, you know, the worlds that have been, the planets we have been living on. Not only the planet, it knows about everything. From the day we got into the game until the day we got out of this game. And now if you can call it, you know, if you find a comparison, and that's why I like actually this. When we look at people, you know, who get hooked up in computer games. So that they lose, you know, just let them play for 30 years, they forget what the reality is. And now think about it's not only playing in this game of life for 30 years, but for 300 million or 3 billion years. I mean, we must have completely lost touch to reality. Then somebody tips us on our shoulders and says, like the Lord Buddha says, hey, look, this is not real. And that's exactly what the Lord Buddha does. Look at it. This is not me, that this is not mine, that doesn't belong to me. And he talked about the body. He talked about feeling, he talked about memory and association, and he talked about thought, and he even talked about consciousness. All of these are not mine. They do not belong to me. It's not me. You just reminded us that we are caught up in a game that is called life. But we have to realize that we are caught up in a game. If you do not realize it, and if you do not want to get out, I mean, then it's beyond anybody's help. I mean, we have to be willing, we have to have so, in other terms, little dust in our eyes so that we can see ourselves playing this game. If we can't, we cannot get out. Because we, each one of us, needs to do or put in the effort to get out. If you don't want to get out, there's nobody who can drag us up. There's only somebody who can constantly remind us, hey, see, you're caught up. See, you're caught up. Just like we remind our friends, hey, you see, you're caught up in drugs. But we can't pull him out. I mean, if he likes to take the drugs, you know, it's very difficult for us to pull him out. I mean, we constantly can remind him, hey, do you see, you take drugs, you know? Don't you want to quit? Don't you want to go back, you know, into what is real? Not into this illusion kind of dreams that you have? It's the same thing, you know, with a person who is hooked up in computer games, or this virtual reality games, and nothing more. The more enticing they become, the more hooked they get us. And there's actually, you know, what I heard, you know, sometimes people tell me something, there's actually on the internet a game that is called New Life. You can choose a new personality. You can, you know, you can completely design your personality from scratch. I mean, that's a game within a game. It's getting crazier and crazier. It's getting more and more crazy. I mean, just think about it. Now with a little bit of common sense, your personality, you don't like your life, of course. Yes, and then you get the opportunity on the internet, within the game, to choose a new reality, a personality, and meet other personalities. You choose to be a owner of a restaurant, or you choose to be a, you know, landlord, or you choose to be this or that. I mean, whatever you choose. I think it's called New Life or something.
Second Life.
Huh?
Second Life.
Or Second Life, yeah. I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, just bring it back to common sense, you know?
And with your kids, too.
Huh?
With your kids, you do it, too.
Yeah. I mean, with everything, with your partner, you choose, you're married and you choose a new partner on the second life. And of course, you can do all your fantasies that you have. Huh? I mean, it's just getting more and more crazy. I mean, it's already crazy enough, this life. But getting one level down, you know, one level deeper into the shit, you know, it's not going to help us to get out of it. Yeah, that's all what technology brings to us. I mean, more entertainment, you know, getting deeper, actually, you know, the more technology we have, the deeper we get into, the more we lose ourselves. I mean, if we would all have been farmers like 200 years ago, I mean, we would clearly know that the rarity of life. I mean, it's just drawing on and drawing on. But now, with all our diversity in faculties and and studies and possibilities, we have a lot of things to choose from. So that makes it more difficult to realize that we are stuck. And we are stuck. And to get out is first to become aware. Once we get aware, then hopefully we get aware that we are stuck somewhere. I mean, if we are aware that we are stuck in a hole, you know, then we find a way out of the hole. I mean, we don't want to live the rest of our life in a hole. And once we know the way out, I mean, all what we can do is go it step by step. Slowly stepping out. The deeper, of course, we are in the hole, I mean, the longer it takes. I mean, we can't fly out. All what we can do is take one step at a time. One step forward, one step upward, each time. And the Lord Buddha teaches us, if we do not make a step forward, we make two steps backward. We should not forget that. If we do not make a step forward in the right direction, we make two steps backward. He taught that, you know, as a caution for us not to be lazy, not to become comfortable, not to become confident. Just to make step by step. Just a step. One step a day. Or one step every hour. Or one step every minute. I mean, that, of course, you know, increases the speed of getting out. But the amount of steps is the same. But if you stop, you fall back. I mean, whatever we are looking for, it is within our chitta. If we look for peacefulness, there it is. If we look for happiness, there it is. There we can find. If we look for quietude, there it is. I mean, it's a complete silence. It's a silence that is so deep, no matter where we are, even in the deepest forest, in the northern countries, I mean, we couldn't experience that kind of silence. When you go into a deep forest, you know, it's very quiet during the night, very extremely quiet. But it's still noisy, considered to the quietude we can find within our own heart. I mean, why? Just ask yourself, why do we always step outside instead of stepping inside? I mean, inside everything is already there. Everything is already there in a perfect way. There's nothing that we need to change. We don't need to change our environment. We don't need to change this person or that person. All what we need to do is to change ourselves. To go instead of outward, inward. And then we find whatever we were looking for. In our life, we will find just right there in the center of our chest. Nowhere else. Everything. I can promise you, everything that you ever dreamed of, you know, you will find there. Everything that we so deeply long for, it's just there in front of us, in front of our own eyes. It's there in the center of our chest, nowhere else. And as long as we are separated from this center of our chest, we feel discomfort. We feel different. Nothing else. We feel lonely. We feel afraid. We feel unholy. The moment we are in the center of our chest, that's when we become holy. That's when we are not afraid. That's when we are never lonely again. Because that's when we are whole, as a whole. And if we are a whole, we cannot be feel separated from anything else. I mean, it's so fantastically simple. That's all what we need to do. And now look at your life, what you do to find this? How hard you work for your in your life, you know, to find these things and never found them. And they're so fantastically simple. I don't say it's easy. But the answer is so, the answer to all our questions are so simple. So simple, or so simplistic that we can't even think of them. That's why nobody, you know, could tell us about it. Because we are the only ones who can see the answer. And it's right there. Just right in front of our eyes. All what we need is to see for it. Just like Jesus said, you know, knock and you will be answered. I mean, look and you will see. That's what the Lord Buddha said. Open your eyes and you will see. But nobody ever told us, when we come from Christianity, how to knock or how to look. But the Lord Buddha taught us how to look. How to make these things in. He taught us with the Eightfold Path, or with Sila, Samadhi and Panna, to keep in a bound of precepts, you know, to keep our conscious calm. As long as we keep within the five precepts, our consciousness is calm. Then to turn our attention onto one point. Know about this point. When we do the Buddha meditation, know about the quality of the Buddha. When we do the Anapanasati, observing breath coming in and out, know about the quality of the breath coming in and out. We know that the breath comes in, we know that the breath goes out. We know that the breath in-breath is longer, or know that the out-breath is shorter. We know each moment we know. And why? And it's the same thing for the Buddha. Because we want to come to the knowingness of our citta. That's why we want to know. Not just the mechanical repetition of the word Buddha, that doesn't help. That doesn't lead to the knowingness. Not just, you know, mechanical observation of breath and breath coming in and out. That doesn't lead to knowingness. But knowing about the quality of the breath, knowing about the quality of the body, will lead us to the knowingness of our citta. Because it's the one who knows. It's also simple, isn't it? Just stick with it. And the moment the citta goes out, you know, just bring it back. Okay, got you. Go back. Got you. Go back. That's all what we need to do. To come to a state of complete calmness. To come to a state of holiness. And holiness in two forms, you know. Be holy in the form of H-O-L-Y. Perfect, and whole in the form of W-H-O-L-E. Complete. Both in German and in English, you know, they come from, stem from the same word. Holiness and wholeness. One. I mean, in the 70s or 80s, yeah, become one with yourself. Yeah. It's all ideas. And then, once we are regenerated from the freshness of this experience of holiness, we go back and investigate what is the blockage on our way. Why can't we stay there forever? And then remove the blockage. And the blockage can be found in five groups. One of the groups is the group of the body. The other group is feeling. Next group is memory and association. And then thought, and then consciousness. In these groups, the problems can be found. Not that the groups are themselves a problem, but there's somebody using these groups for its own entertainment. So we take him, we take away the right from him to use these groups. And that is nothing else than avijja, who uses the groups to fool us. And every moment we are fooled. I'm happy, we are fooled. I'm unhappy, we are fooled. I'm sick, we are fooled. Because all what there is just sickness. All what there is just feeling. All what there is just memory. All what there is just body and its senses. You know, what there is just thought or consciousness. That's it. The moment I say I'm fooled. He uses these groups to fool us. To make us think that his tools or these tools are his or us or mine. And that we have to fight for them. To defend them. And some of us, you know, defend it with their lives. These groups. Go to court and fight each other for the rest of their lives. And that's all. That's the steps that take us out. The steps of Sila, Samadhi and Panna. And the first and the foremost object of investigation is, like I said in the beginning, the body. Because with the body come the senses. And with the senses comes greed and hate. So if we can destroy the illusion about our body, I mean we are getting rid of greed and hate. But people just cannot imagine the difference if there is no greed and no hate, and if there is greed and hate. It's just like the difference between heaven and hell. As long as you have greed and hate, you are in hell. In the moment you got rid of greed and hate, you know, you're suddenly in the opposite realm, in heaven. So whenever you think of something, that you can find it over there, or over there, or over there, in this country, or in this city, or in that country, or in this city, or with this teacher, or with that teacher, I mean, it's still just right there in the center of your chest. That's where you find it. Not over here, over there, over that. Just in the center of your own chitta. In the center of your own chest, in the chitta, that's where you find it. Not in this town or that town, with this teacher or that teacher, or with this teaching or that teaching, but people are fools. Because they come to their difficulties, you know, and then they switch the teacher or they switch the location. And then at that location they come to another difficulties, and then they switch again the teacher or the location. And then they run in circles around, you know, constantly the moment that they get their difficulties that are coming up from their practice, I mean they switch the teacher or the location. Now it's time to go. Now it's time to go to Phuket and take a bath. Swim a little bit in the sea. Being warmed up in the sun. So I offer this just for your reflection. I mean, use it and reflect about your own life. And look what you want to do with it. Look how you have acted upon. I mean, where have you gone when you met difficulties? What have you done when you met with difficulties? I mean, just look in the memories of your own life. And have you found the solution? Or did you go to another place, and then another place, and then another place, or returning back? Or going there again? I mean, think about it very carefully. And with this, I'll end the talk. So, we can have some questions.
Can you download this talk to my memory chip? Because I was pondering over certain issues before I came here.
Huh?
I was pondering over certain issues. And this talk addresses it totally, 101%.
100%.
101.
101.
So I will appreciate very much if you could just download. Because every question I ask Longpa, the guide, is answered here.
Okay. I don't think only for you, and it's for quite a few people.
Oh, I did not. I'll bring it in the mixer.
So, some more questions? So, what is the question?
Can you say that you should investigate if there is hindrances? You were saying that looking at the khandhas. So I suspected the problem lying because I watch. You're very right, the last time you mentioned about sanya. At that time, I don't understand what you mean by a problem as sanya. Actually, now I could understand better. It is the symbol and it works so fast because the sanya is there. So how do I investigate this? I mean, you did mention the hindrances could be caused by all these various khandhas. I narrow it down to sanya and sankhara. So, would you like to seek your advice? How should I approach to break this down?
I mean, you can't break it down at the moment. You can't break it down with sanya because you're not able to catch sanya very clearly. All what you can catch now are memories of your past. These ones you bring up and let them stay. And go through the experience again. And that is, of course, very unpleasant.
Meaning that, because I noticed...
I mean, you just use memory. Bring up all the unpleasant experience of your life. And then, you know, once you bring up one experience after the other, first of all, you have to stay with the feeling. And that is unpleasant. That's why we don't want to have these memories. That's why we want to get rid of these memories. That's why we store them. And each time it comes up, you know, we store them deeper and deeper and deeper until they're completely suppressed. And now, once we start bringing up all these memories of the bad events of our life, I mean, we get used to the feelings of, you know, being able to stay with the unpleasant feelings that come with these unpleasant memories.
Oh, I got a picture now. It is... If I'm not wrong, I'm trying to say that I think she's using the Sanya-sankara because it's so fast. The next thing is the Vedana, but because we have the inclination to react with Vedana, especially even the pleasant and unpleasant, which I just watched also. So we are we're running away, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why you're saying, get all these things out and stay with it. Grit my teeth and go through it, right?
Yes. Grind your teeth and stay with it.
Okay.
The next thing that you do is, once you can stay with these unpleasant feelings that come with these unpleasant memories, when you look at the cause, then you bring up one memory after the other, and you will see patterns, certain patterns. Whatever got you into these unpleasant feelings or unpleasant situations. But I can't say what kind of patterns you will see. You will have to see for yourself.
Yeah.
But you will see patterns. And when you look close, and I mean, you don't bring only this memory up only once. You bring it up 100 of times. To find the pattern, to find what is behind it. I mean, if we can stay it, we can see it more clearly. If there is not, if the feelings, the feeling decreases each time, you know, the memory, we bring up the memory, the feeling decreases. But it's still unpleasant, it is unpleasant. But we see clearer through it.
It's weakening the karma of it.
No, it's not weakening the karma of it, you know, but it's lifting up the suppression.
Okay, got a picture.
So, once we lift off the suppression, you will see clearer the cause of it. I mean, what led? It's a situation like in every day. You know, we run against a tree, and we hit our head, and it's an unpleasant feeling. I mean, we bring up this memory, and bring up this memory, and bring up this memory, until, you know, this memory shows us just before that. I mean, we looked away because we didn't want to see something, so we run against a tree and hit our head and had this unpleasant feeling. That's why bringing up these memories, you know, we will bring up also the things that caused it.
Another thing is that, would it be useful, Ajahn, because I do study the Sankara.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, there are several patterns. In mm-hmm. fact, it's only that few sets of patterns.
Yeah.
Okay, but of course the backdrops, the characters, the color, the scene, different. Okay, so is it useful whenever all this, because strangely this period, all the design that come up is very long time ago that I don't even think about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some can be as young in my childhood or teenage.
And that, you
can
know,
just box it into all this line of thoughts.
At the moment you don't do anything, you just look, you just observe. I mean, just like you look at when you do investigation of the body. Now we just do this. We just observe. We don't make any assumptions. Don't make any assumptions. We bring it up, stay with the feeling, bring it up, bring the next up, stay with the feeling, bring the next up, stay with the feeling, bring the next up. We just observe, 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 observe. We don't make any assumptions. This is like that or that is like that. But through this observation, through this, you know, stepping back, you know, just looking at the movie, I mean, we will see patterns. Once we will see patterns, I mean, actually what we go is going back the way from the manifold to the one root.
Mm.
But in order to see this root, you know, we cannot make any assumptions because we don't know what the root cause of it is. But through that method, you know, we can come to this root cause. Bring it up and showing and looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. It's just like with the body contemplation. We bring up the body and look at it, and of course you first say, oh yeah, sure, you know, this is the lung, this is the liver, so what's the problem about it? There's no problem about it. But we do it 100 times, 1,000 times, and until we see it clearly, you know, we see it quivering, you know, smelly, slimy, and oi, what mess!
Because in your talk, you did say that, especially for we all at this stage, it's better that we go to Rupa because it's more solid.
Mm-hmm.
But for because the hindrances I have is more on the kinder side, it's not so much of a. Rupa is also a problem, but.
Don't even think about this. Rupa is the biggest problem.
Yeah, that's right.
And they are stored there.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, you know, this is just one way, you know, getting rid of the most problems that we have with our life, with memories. I mean, this is just one. You also can go with body investigation, you will see that also these memories are triggered, because they are stored somewhere in parts of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you go to this part of the body, that memory is triggered anyway.
Okay, because I don't want to jump the gun, because you're saying that we should move on to Rupa first before
yes.
I go to the Namakandas, is it?
Yes. I mean, the main focus is the body, the body, and the body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but if we have some inherent problem, you know, with our personalities or with some of the memories, then we can do the same thing for memory. I mean, there is no difference in investigation. If we investigate feeling, you know, it's just the same way as we investigate the body. It's just the same way as if we investigate memory. I mean, whatever there is, when you have there is a feeling, a hindrance in your practice, okay, that's what you're going to investigate to get rid of the hindrance.
But you're saying that the Sanya and Sankara is still certain parts of the body. So how do you suggest that I could look into the expect?
First of all, I want you to use it first. You know, but you ask so many questions, then you forget all the answers, and then you don't know what to do.
Okay.
I mean, just be satisfied with one answer and do it, you know, and go on doing it and doing it and see the results of it, and then you can ask the next question. Not what you know, now I know how to do this, and then what shall I do next, and then what shall I do next, and you know, and then you are in 2 years or 5 years ahead, you know, and then you forget, you know, what you should do in the first place. I mean, do that just in the first place.
Mm.
And then, you know, once you're skilled with this, I mean, then you can go to the next.
Okay. So, when...
Okay. Finished.
So, does it mean if you investigate your memory or your body or whatever, and you really understood, then it will disappear, you know?
You will see the cause, and then you can remove, you know? I mean, it's just like the same thing, you know? You have somewhere... a bee or a wasp, you know, stings you, you know? There's a little, how do you call it?
Stinger.
Huh?
Stinger.
The stinger that is in, you know, that the bee or the wasp leaves in your body?
We call it the sting.
The sting. Okay, so it's a sting with a little ball of poison, you know, with a little, that pumps poison. First of all, you have to look for that. And that is the way that the investigation of this, you know, is going to get a clear view of the sting. Once we see the sting, we can pull it off. But we don't see the sting, you know, we constantly... I mean, it sometimes happens to us, you know, there's something itchy, you know, on our skin, and we don't see anything, but each time we get across, you know, there it itches. So, we have to take, you know, most of the time we have to take a magnifying glass to see it, you know, and then we can remove it. But most of the time we see it, we constantly, you know, it's constantly itching, but we don't know where it is. So the first thing is we have to locate where it is. And that's what we do with investigation. It's a memory, you know, that is the sting. I mean, just seeing a person, you know, brings up all these memories. Yeah? Okay, then bring up the image of this person. Bring it. The more you bring it up, you know, then the more you can deal with it. Just bring up the memory of this person, and all the rest is coming with it. Until we clearly see where is actually the sting. Because, you know, we see so many faces, so just when we see this face, why is there a lot of anger coming up? And then we see another face, why there's a lot of love or metta or, you know, compassion is coming up. I mean, we want to understand the things. That's why we do it. And the more often we do it, you know, it just glows, you know, it's just like a magnifying glass, you know. We look over it, you know, look at it until we see it. And then we see it closer and closer and closer, each time closer. Until we see it, you know, so that we can rip it up. And then it's gone.
I didn't
say it's easy. But I said it's manageable. I mean, if I can do it, you can do it.
I know, but the focus is on samadhi, but with investigation, it more or less...
Just for today, you're quiet.
Okay.
Just get... I mean, just get to the point. Huh? Just reflect on just this one answer and just do it, you know, for a while.
Suggest for how long?
For a while.
Until you do it.
Okay, so.
What do you adjust?
Yes.